Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, short of when the church gathers for a funeral, this is definitely one of those nights that we remember that we are mortal, that our bodies, because of sin, will deteriorate, that our bodies will wear out, that our knees will give out, that our lungs and our heart will stop working the way they were created by God to do. Ash Wednesday is a day that we remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Words proclaimed by God to Adam because of his inability to follow God's law. Words given to Adam as a condemnation that all mankind would now return to the place from which God took it. For God had taken and fashioned Adam from the dust of the ground. He takes him from the dirt and breathes life into him. The only thing of all creation that is made in the image and likeness of God. And then you heard those words. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Those are never easy words to utter, especially when you utter them to children, including your own children. But it is a reality that faces all people, Christian and non-Christian alike, that death is coming for us. The wages of sin is death. That's a reality that we face. But then we are also formed in the shape of a cross. That cross reminds us that while we are dead in our own trespasses, a cross has saved us out of our trespasses. The cross of Jesus Christ redeems us back from damnation, back from the gates of hell that we deserve. The cross of Christ wins for us salvation. Tonight begins the season of Lent. Lent is a penitential season, a time when Christians gather more often, a time when Christians devote themselves to returning to the Lord. It is a time to repent, to look at our sins, but then look at the cross. We look to Christ alone to save us. Nothing else can. Everything else in this whole world leads us to a ground, leads us to death, without the hope and joy of eternal life with God. The season of Lent as a penitential time is a time for three main things throughout the history of the church. And those three things happen to come directly from our gospel lesson for tonight. Jesus builds on the words of Joel. For in our Old Testament lesson, Joel wrote, "Now therefore, says the Lord," he writes the words of God himself, and he says, "Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast." Fasting is a rich traditional thing that Christians throughout both East and West would practice. Jesus himself, in our gospel lesson, indicates that his disciples will take time to fast. Fasting is good for us. It helps us to train the body. You see, you are not just a soul. You are not just a body. You are both body and soul. And as such, the life of a Christian is a life of training. The body and the soul need to be exercised. And sometimes that makes it very uncomfortable for us. But our lives, our bodies and our souls need to be conformed to the cross of Christ. This coming Sunday in Vocabit, we will hear the story of Jesus' baptism and how he goes into the wilderness and how for 40 days he fasts. He reminds the devil and us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's the truth of it. If we were to have persecution, if someone were to come down to your door, knock it in, round you up, and put you in jail for being a Christian, and said, you won't get to eat until you deny Christ, well, most of us would fail. Because the fact of the matter is that your average American lives better now than the majority of kings and queens have throughout our history. We have so much. We have an abundance. So much prosperity. And I think oftentimes that makes us lazy. It makes us take too much for granted. And so Lent is a time to refocus on these words from Jesus. Notice that Jesus lays out the three things dealing with Lent, and he doesn't say, if you do this thing, but he says, when you do it. He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may glory men. When you give charity, that historically is called almsgiving, taken from the King James. Almsgiving is one of the three main parts of Lent, giving to those who are needy. Secondarily, he says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. He does not say if you pray, but when you pray, implying that God's children will both give to the needy and also pray. He goes on then to give the Lord's Prayer, for his disciples seek from him the way to pray. And so he says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. You know those words. Those words should be more than just on your lips. They should be in your hearts. They should be a part of who you are. You are God's children, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because he has washed you in the waters of holy baptism and claimed you as his own. But right after he talks about the prayer that he gives, he then goes on to say, when you fast. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. We are to give alms, that is, give to the needy. We are to pray, and we are to fast, that our bodies and our souls would be trained in the things of righteousness, acknowledging that we need to temper our bodies, that we are not to be gluttonous day after day. How are we to enjoy the feast that is Easter without the fast that prepares us to receive it? How do we receive the feast that is Christmas without the fast that is Advent? We prepare ourselves, body and soul, to receive that feast. When you do charitable gifts, when you pray, when you fast. The Christian church long ago set aside 2 days in the week, every week, for fasting. And Lent is a great time to try to restore those things, especially given our gospel lesson. Those days are Wednesdays and Fridays. The church before them, the Hebrew brothers and sisters, they took Tuesdays and Thursdays, and so I guess not to be exactly like them, they chose Wednesdays and Fridays. The reasoning was this: Wednesday is the day that Judas decides to turn Jesus over, the day that he decides that he will absolutely betray him. And Friday, of course, is the day that Jesus hangs on a cross for our sins. So what does traditional fasting look like? I mean, aren't we Lutherans? Doesn't that mean that we don't have to follow those silly Roman Catholic practices? Well, sure, if it was only a Roman Catholic practice. The fasting is not only a Roman Catholic practice. It's in the Bible. Jesus says, when you do this. So the idea is, historically, that on Wednesdays and Fridays, we would not eat from the time that the sun rises until the time that the sun sets. The rest of the days during Lent, we take in less. The idea is not, oh, it's Friday, we'll switch meats, eat as much as we can, and drink as much as we can. That's not fasting. That's also gluttony. So the concept is to train the body, to receive that which is nourishment for the soul. I'm not saying you have to do this perfectly. And I'm not saying you have to do it at all. But the fact is that Jesus says when you do it. So Lent is a time of those three things. Lent is a time to fast, to give up some food. Now, it's not a time to blast it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or the TikToks or whatever social media you like to use. That's not the concept. That's what the hypocrites do. Rather, we internally do it. And we might share with one another to encourage one another. But we do it to get right with God. Fasting is what Luther includes in the Small Catechism. In the section about receiving the Lord's Supper worthily, he says fasting is certainly a fine outward training. Traditionally, Lutherans as well would fast before receiving the sacrament. We would fast to prepare our hearts and our ears and our minds to receive the word of God. When we fast, we happen to have two more things in our lives. We have more money, because we buy less food. And Jesus has something to do with what we should do with that extra money. He says, give to the needy. When you eat less, you also have more time. And Jesus says exactly what we should do with that more time, for he says, when you pray. So by fasting, we train our bodies to receive that which is nourishment for the soul. We receive extra money that we may give to the needy. We receive extra time that we might devote it in prayer. But I don't need to tell you about that devotion of prayer because here you are tonight. Here you are joining with us as we remember the mortality, the realism of the fact that we are all dead in our trespasses and only alive by the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus says something even more profound than encouraging his children to fast, to pray, and to give to the needy, because he ends this gospel lesson with these words. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Another side effect of our fallen nature and our sinful society as Americans is that we simply want stuff. The earthly possessions that we give are not sinful in and of themselves, but they will all pass away. Moths will devour them. Rust will devour them. So we should focus instead on the eternal treasures. You've heard me over the last year specifically talk about eternal treasures that God actually does give. Not to everyone, but to many. Eternal treasures that we hope to see in heaven. Not our car, not our house, not our boat, not any of our gaming systems, not any of that. But children. Children are eternal treasures. Gifts given by God according to his holy will. And we raise them in the faith, entrusting them to God Most High, giving them everything we possibly can. We teach. We lead by example. We build them up in the faith, praying to God that when we depart from this life, when they depart from this life, we will rejoice with them for eternity. Do not be so focused about on what we have here and now, but rather lay up your treasures in heaven. And I'm not saying that you need to go out and try to have as many children as you can. Of course, for many, those days have passed. But the concept here is to focus on what is eternal. The souls that have been entrusted into our care, your own soul, your own body. Treat your body with respect. Train it. Exercise. Treat it well because it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Focus your heart not on this stuff, but on God. And when the time comes, when he calls you and me And our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and who knows, great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, and great-grandsons too. When that time comes, may we be found with Jesus, the one who has suffered all for us, the one who conquers the mortality of our sin, the one who bestows upon us his richest blessings in his supper, in his gifts. And so the church sings, though great our sin, yet greater still is God's abundant favor. His hand of mercy never will abandon us nor waver. Our shepherd good and true is he, who will at last his Israel free from all their sin and sorrow. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.